Please be seated. Time now for the Word of God, and Hamish and Val are going to come and do our scripture readings, and then Mark is going to preach.
Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 64, and reading the first 9 verses. It's on page 750 of the Church Bibles. Isaiah chapter 64, starting at the first verse. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading is taken from Mark chapter 13 and starting at verse 24 to the end. And it's on page 1019. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds from the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. Amen.
Let us pray. God of the living word, give us the faith to receive your message, the wisdom to know what it means, and the courage to put it into practice. Amen. Understanding the context is something I have become much more aware of in recent years. Context provides a more rounded and fuller understanding of the situation. Our reading today from Mark is no different. The first picture, please. This is especially for those of our visual learners. The first picture is focused on one view looking through a hole in a large stone. This view is restricted and limits the understanding of the view's context. If we now look at the second photo, there's not looking through the hole in the stone. We can see where yachts and the rest of the central focus of the first photo fits into the surrounding context within which it is part. This is exactly what we have to consider when we are looking at the reading today from Mark's Gospel. What precedes this earlier in chapter 13 is Jesus leaving the temple. He's then quizzed by a disciple about the temple building. The most important contextual point is that our passage today comes at the end of the temple talk material. This begins way back in chapter 11, with Jesus entering Jerusalem and then the temple. Here he began by driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers. Then, as we move through Mark, we come to chapter 12, where we see there is the teaching on the parable of the tenants, alluding to Jesus being the last messenger that the Father can send. Then there could be no one else after him. Back at chapter 13, Jesus importantly leaves the temple, then sits on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, looking at it with Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Before we get to look at the reading for today, we need to be aware of verse 8 in chapter 13. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of birth pains. The illustration of the birth pains has been used to reflect on the way in which God was intending to bring to birth his new creation. It provides an understandable insight into being prepared and watching. Now, I am delighted to be a proud dad of two lovely boys. This has brought me a closer insight into what the beginnings of birth pains mean and what requirements this brings. A note now for expectant mothers among us, we don't need an illustration at this point by going into labour early. When the pain starts, the reality of the nearness of the new birth becomes increasingly apparent. Each child's birth is different, especially the length of time from initial pain to new birth. This is precisely what Jesus is getting at when he says, "These are the beginnings of birth pains." Jesus is not saying, "Expect straight away," but instead creating the awareness of the nearness. Yes, it's the awareness of the nearness. So our reading today commences with Jesus saying, "So be on your guard." In other words, pay attention, keep watch. This instruction from Jesus is centered on faithfulness. The sign of faithfulness is watchfulness, not trying to predict or foretell the future, but instead being obedient in the present. When Christ comes again, he will fulfill many prophecies, but believers will not be able to calculate when, where, or how the second coming will be.
There is no magic timetable that gives us an ETA. Until then, the message is clear that we are to be faithful in the here and now, not to be misled by speculation, signs, or false prophets. The message of Jesus is a sure hope for the future, grounded in his word. Jesus now goes on to quote the vision of Daniel 7:13, that the Son of Man coming in clouds. This is after Jesus has been predicting his own humiliation and crucifixion through the language of the Son of Man in the preceding chapters of Mark in 8, 9 and 10. The symbolism of clouds in the Old Testament refers to the presence and glory of God. Here, this is exactly what is alluded to through the description of when people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory at Jesus' second coming. The next picture, please. Here again, Jesus uses the image of the fig tree for his teaching as we move through. Previously, the focus from in chapter 11 was the barrenness of the fig tree linked to the temple. But on this occasion, there is a description of the normal stages in the seasons from spring into summer. The insight that we gain from our understanding of the seasons and fig trees provides some assistance. Having a potted fig tree at home has been an education for me over the last couple of years, especially. I found myself doing a lot of watching in the first year, moving the large pot around because the tree wasn't happy in its different locations I tried. The different signs of the leaves provided the insight needed to move it each time until I eventually found the right place. This last year has been a different challenge, still watching the tree and faithfully watering it, but I've also needed to be ready and alert in order to pick the figs at the right time. As I found out this year, I was competing with the birds. The uniqueness of the fig trees in Palestine compared to evergreens and olives enables further insight into the inclusion of this text. As the olives and evergreens do not drop their leaves in winter, it means that they cannot announce the change of seasons in spring with new bud and leaf. The fig tree is different when winter is past and warm weather is at hand. Only then does a fig tree bud into life. Jesus' use of the fig tree uses a suitable metaphor of the nearness of the end. Just as summer comes round each year without us doing anything to assist it, just as we know summer is at hand as we pass through winter into spring, the nearness is present. The fig tree signals the nearness of summer, but not immediacy. The fig tree metaphor leads neatly into the fact that the day and the hour is an unknown. But between this, Jesus declares that his words will outlive heaven and earth. With authority, he says, "I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Jesus, up until this point, has been teaching his disciples about the signs before the destruction of the temple and the second coming, being careful and on guard against false prophets. We then find Jesus telling his disciples to be prepared for an unknown time. It's like waiting for a late train at the station. Imagine the scene. You don't know when the train is going to be arriving, so you look down at the tracks. Next picture, thank you. Both ways, as far as you can see, to see if the train is coming, in order to get an idea of when it might be arriving. I've done that many a time, rather than just waiting for the impending and eventual train's arrival. Similarly, no one knows, including the angels in heaven, or the Son, the day or the hour, but only the Father. In his humanity, the Son has humble confidence in the Father's will. Through three different words, Jesus warns the disciples to keep watch or be alert, as they won't know the day. Jesus is saying there is no point in trying to reduce biblical prophecy to the level of horoscope. It's useless and futile. The mystery of God is a good thing, especially in our age of knowledge and wanting to know everything. The mini parable that follows illustrates Jesus' point further. When the man leaves his house for the servants to look after, each has their own responsibilities. And importantly, the servant at the door is to keep watch. The doorkeeper's role, of all the various servant roles, is an important one, which Jesus highlights. It's the doorkeeper's role to watch, and nothing else but look out for the master of the house returning, as he has no idea when he will return, but has to be ready, expecting, and prepared for him. The task of watching then continues into the Passion narrative in Mark, where the disciples are charged with this task, especially in the Garden of Gethsemane. The doorkeeper needs to be faithful in readiness for the master. The judgment that came upon the temple in 70 AD is an insight into future judgment that will come on the whole world. Commentators differ on whether the talk of the destruction of the temple is that in its entirety, or whether this is also looking ahead to the second coming. The apocalyptic language in chapter 13 can be understood as having increased emphasis on the interpretation of the second coming included. The destruction of the temple does provide some element of reality and insight. Whether day, evening, or night is unknown, the message coming through is a sense of reality. No one can stay awake 24 hours a day, not even a doorkeeper. The awareness of the unknown timing means precisely we are to get on with our lives focused on Christ. Mark's account in chapter 13 concludes the word watch. The continual command for God's people in Christ is to be faithful to him, to be ready. The next picture, please. Time flies by very quick, and today, believe it or not, is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is a time of waiting and preparation, a time of readiness. The priority is spiritually preparing ourselves to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Saviour. For me, in the last few years, after each Christmas, I say to myself, next year will be different, and I will start to prepare myself spiritually more fully for Christmas at the beginning of Advent. This year, I must admit that preaching today has been a helpful reminder. So on this first Sunday of Advent, and with a little help, I have remembered in time. So my prayer is that we all take this opportunity that Advent brings to make ourselves ready spiritually. There are various questions that we can ask ourselves to assist us in deepening our spiritual readiness during Advent. For example, what extra or special focus on reading Scripture could we pursue? Are there times of the day or places where we could or should pray? Do we thank God daily for his goodness and blessings upon us and those closest to us? Individually, being faithful comprises many aspects of life. But overall, if our lives are grounded through immersion in Scripture, eyes focused on Jesus, and our hearts committed to a life of prayer, provide us with an ability to live a life lived for Christ, being ready and our eyes open in watching for God at work in our lives this day and ahead. Amen.